Now, in this chapter 19, we're going to see the great faith of Job and listen to him as he begins. Then Job answered and said, "How long will ye vex my soul and break me in pieces with words?" You see, this is like some physical combat. It's like a football team when you hear a coach say, "Well, you know, they tore up our defense. They've been breaking Job up with words. They've been breaking down his defense." Now he says here, "These 10 times have ye reproached me. Ye are not ashamed that ye make yourselves strange to me." And you see, the more they talked, the more alienated they became from Job. And they are not right, but neither is Job right. And Job thinks because they are wrong that that would make him right. But actually, it does not. Had Job's conscience and his life been opened in the presence of God, what position should he have taken? Well, let me make this suggestion. I think that he should not have replied to his friends at all. Now, so many people think they have to defend themselves. In the position that I've been in for years, and on radio, a great many people think the gift of preaching, teaching is a wonderful gift. I do. I thank God for it. But may I be very frank and say to you, it's a dangerous gift to have because it puts you up where you can be shot at and you can be criticized. And I have people that come to me from time to time and say, "Why don't you defend yourself? Why don't you write a little book and defend yourself?" Well, I don't need to. To begin with, someone has put it like this: your friends that know you don't need an explanation, and your enemies wouldn't believe it anyway. So I have found out that in time, things answer themselves. But very candidly, I don't think that you need to defend yourself in these cases at all. And my suggestion would be that Job should not have answered these friends at all. He should have just bowed in sweet submission. Now, somebody's going to say, "You don't do that." No, I don't. I'm just telling Job what to do, friends. No, I don't do that. But I think that he should have just bowed to it and listened to him and then told him goodbye, showed him where the front gate was to the city dump, and told him to leave. But you see, he was bent upon vindicating himself. And there's so many people that feel like they have to do that. I think of so many men that have let time adjudicate their case. William Booth, the founder of the Salvation Army, was accused very cruelly. And he sought to defend himself. He didn't need to. Time has brought it out. And the late Dr. DeHaan, great man that he was severely attacked when he was pastor of a church. And Dr. DeHaan, at that time, well, there have been those that sought to defend him. Well, Dr. DeHaan didn't need any defense because time is justified and has revealed the fact that those charges made against him were false indeed. Now, I personally think Job should have taken that position, that he should not have come out with this defense of himself. But listen to him. "These 10 times have ye reproached me. You're not ashamed that ye make yourselves strange to me." He's become an alien. Why didn't he just keep quiet? And he wouldn't have had 10 messages from him. He doesn't see that, apparently. But he still has a great faith in God. And you notice him now as he moves on. He says, "And be it indeed that I have erred, mine error remaineth with myself." In other words, he says, no one knows it but me, apparently, because you fellas can't point it out, and I don't know it, and he doesn't. Someone has said that the Lord didn't make us perfect, but he made us blind to our errors. Well, I don't think the Lord did that, but that is a true statement. We're not perfect, but we are, most of us are blind to our faults. And so this man here is blind to a great many of his faults.